Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's January 29th, 2013. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We've got a great show tonight. First, thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. Thanks again for supporting us. Go to GreatBrewers.com, learn more about beer. Check out the Beer Cloud if you want to really know where to get beer. And thanks to people at the Good Beer Seal, GoodBeerSeal.com. What a show we have tonight. It's our first official five-borough show. We've got Ryan from Adobe Blues in Staten Island. You say your name and what borough you're from. So,
well, it's too late now.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
we'll start over. Come on.
Isn't it? I'm Ryan. I manage Adobe Blues in Staten Island.
I'm Heather, and this is Jeff Rush.
Hello.
And we own the Pine Box Rock Shop in Brooklyn.
All right.
I'm Brian Dwyer. I'm the assistant brewer at Single Cut Beersmiths.
And I'm Rich Pucetta, the principal brewer of Single Cut Beersmiths.
In what borough?
In the proud borough of Queens.
Queens! Ooh. Queens has breweries now. Awesome.
Ed, I'm Sean McCain from the Bronx Brewery. What borough am I from?
Good one. And Jimmy Carboni from Manhattan, and Jimmy's Number 43. All right. So we have a great show lined up tonight. Some new folks. The Good Brew Seal is always growing. It's supporting small beer bar owners in New York City. And Ryan from Adobe Blues, you've become a regular guest. It's great having you on, man.
I have, right?
Yeah.
I like it. It's great. Really, I just come for the beer. So
you said you just recently did a beer dinner.
Yeah, we did. We did our first beer dinner for Coast to Coast Toast. A couple weeks ago.
Is that the Vanderberg and DeWolf?
Yeah. Excitement? Yeah, it's a great event. It was postponed in New York, just in New York, due to the hurricane. So they did it January 15th. And we, put together our first one, had some great beers, and paired them up all with pork. And, it was great.
Yeah, I'm seeing the rise of beer dinners. I mean, talking about, like, trends for 2013. We used to always do a few here and there, but we did one last... On Monday night, it was with the Spanish craft beer from Iberian Beer United. And a couple weeks ago, we did something with Cassoulet, and they keep selling out. So I guess people are catching on, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are some good beers that you have on draft right now?
Right now on tap, we have Against the Grain, Hacksaw, Jim Chuggin.
That's nice.
Yeah, exactly the second in their Greats of Wrestling series. We also have a Tagaver Hop, Tired Hands, Bittersweet Symphony, Elysian Valhalla, Kostritzer, and Eyinger Brauweiss.
Nice. Do you buy the beer at Adobe Blues?
I do.
You really do a great job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, there's a lot out there, and there's a lot we want to try. And
how many tap lines do you guys have?
We just have the five lines.
Just five?
Just five, yeah. And, you know, we do one keg and move on to something else.
That's great.
Yeah, which is, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. We do have two lines that are permanent, but the other three I just kind of get to play with.
So what are your permanent lines?
The Eyinger Brauweiss,
yep.
And Newcastle Brown Ale.
Wait, Newcastle?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Is that all
I
right?
think Sean's going to make you a sales visit soon.
Yeah, I'm actually going to Staten Island tomorrow.
Oh, so what would you tomorrow? This is a good segue. So if you're a salesman for a craft brewery like Bronx Brew, Sean, mm-hmm. and you've got a great beer bar that still has like a legacy line like Newcastle,
right?
So what of your beers would you pitch to replace the Newcastle?
It would be the Bronx Pale Ale. I mean, the Newcastle, you know, Brown Ale is a wonderful beer. Do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to.
Right, it's classic.
It's classic.
Yeah.
People know it. They like it. You need to have that something that people can appreciate when they walk into someplace
right.
new or someplace old that they know they can get. And I would say that that's why I make the beer that I make, which is a pale ale, because it's a beautiful, easy drinking beer. And I think Newcastle, England's a lot further than the Bronx. And I think my beer tastes better.
So drink. Rich, go on.
Can I throw my hat into the ring here?
Yeah, of course, man.
Do you have any lagers on tap?
No.
I
think you need to have a lager on tap that's made locally.
Yes.
There you go. What do you have to offer, Rich, from Single Cut Beersmith in Queens?
Well, half our production is devoted to lagers, and we've committed ourselves to that pursuit in that we've actually invested in lagering tanks, which no one does when they make lagers. So it's just an expression of how serious we take it. And we think that lagers are a real platform for growth, experimentation, and sort of new frontiers in craft beer, because lagers are the one area in craft beer that have been neglected. You know, everyone, I guess, associates lagers with the macros, so therefore they're insipid and boring and stupid beers. But that's really not the case. I mean, and I think that you can be just as creative and experimental with lagers as you can with ales. So that's sort of our goal, and that's what we've been starting
Rich,
to do
Rich, hold
now.
On 1 second. Heather, what's the first beer that you poured from us?
Oh, that's the Outrage IPA.
From Crossroads.
Crossroads Outrage IPA.
So our friend Ken Landon texted me today, said, my IPA is going to be on your show today. And
we are big fans. Yeah.
It's great. So you guys are the Pine Box Rock Shop. We're trying to make sure everybody gets introduced. You're the Pine Box Rock Shop. You're a new bar for the Good Beer Seal. And you're really like that little stalwart place out here in Bushwick to get good beer.
Oh, thanks. You know, we put a lot of love in. We have 16 lines. But I do know what he's saying about having an old standard on draft, because when I managed a bar in the city for several years, and I had a really hard time getting the owner to agree to switch over to local or craft brews, because he just expected that regular revenue from like kind of a standard beer like a Newcastle. But in Bushwick, we're allowed to have a lot more experimentation. You know, people I feel like are more open and are really down for that sort of, not DIY, but definitely local.
We actually tried that at first. We had a couple lines that we put Bud Light up regularly and Yingling up regularly. We got about 6 months in, and we're like, what the hell are we doing? Like, there's no real demand for this, and we're at the point now where we have, you know, a craft equivalent, more or less, for lack of a better term. When people come in looking for a Stella, oh, well, we don't have Stella, but we have the 1933, you know, single cut, or, you know, we carry Sly Fox, O'Reilly Stout instead of Guinness. And, it's been working out pretty well.
That's great. I think that's the way a lot of people do it. They start replacing standards with the new craft beers.
Well, with the whole craft beer movement, people are much more receptive than they even were, like, you know, 5 years ago. You know, people are willing to try something. Before, they just thought it was going to be, like, some weird ultra-heavy, especially with session beers, now becoming a craft beer thing. I think a lot of, like, you know, kind of like old-fashioned beer drinkers, for lack of a better term, and like a lot of kids are really into like, or are willing to go that extra mile to try something that is out of their comfort zone.
What I'd like to do now is to take the time to have you guys talk a little about how you opened your bar and, you know, why it became a craft beer, you know, focused place.
Well, we both worked at the same place in the city for a long time, the Crocodile Lounge. It's one of the free pizza bars up on 14th Street there.
Yeah.
And, their focus is the college crowd that's coming in for the free pizza, so not really a lot of emphasis on beer there. But that's where we spent, you know, what, a good 5-6 years?
My joke was that I came with the place because I actually worked for the bar that was there before, which was the Cellar.
Nice.
And they just sort of kept me on.
Yeah.
So I think my tenure was closer to 6.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been bartending in New York for almost 10 years now, and it's all been in the city. So it's all college bars, you know, East Village stuff.
So how did you end up in Bushwick at Pine Box Rock Shop?
Well, we were looking to open for probably a good 3 years, and we saved up the money ourselves to do it because, you know, the market had crashed and there was no loaning anybody money. And we could afford Bushwick, you know?
At the time.
Yeah, Williamsburg was kind of out of our reach at that point. Not that we didn't look out there, you know, but...
I'm glad that didn't work, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, I knew this neighborhood. Like, I'd go to the Rec Room, you know, for trivia. I had friends who lived out here.
You walk the dog out here all
the
time.
Yeah, it's Bushwick's strange in that, like, everything is kind of behind, almost looks like a front, you know? Like, it's a scary warehouse, and then you walk in, and it's, you know, a beautiful restaurant, you know? So it's hard to know unless you really, you know, put yourself out there. But, yeah, it's been really
awesome.
Great to us.
And so, like, what are some of the beers and breweries that we can often find at your place? Because I know you've got, like, 20 taps, right?
We have 16.
And 16? We're adding a cask, hopefully.
We will be going cask sooner than later.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know what they say once you go cask.
I'm scared of those.
We like to offer a lot of good local stuff. Right now, locally, we have up the 6-Point Resin, the single cut Dean Pacific Northwest Mahogany Ale. There's a lot of words in that one.
I'm impressed that you got that right. That was awesome.
Try saying it after you've had a few.
Yeah. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. And Brian talking to the mic. But Rich, what beer are we drinking right now?
I'm going to let Brian answer that.
Yeah, because you guys brought it.
So this is, actually, Heather and Jeff brought this, which we didn't know about, but this is the Single Cut Billy Full Stack IPA. So it's part of our IPA series, the Billy series. So we have the 18-watt at 5%, the half stack, and then the full stack. And the full stack is 127 IBUs, and that's I'm doing that with quotes because it's one hell of a beer. And it's 8.6%. And we've dry hopped it twice as well. So
when you guys are a new brewery, you know, at Single Cut Beer Smith in Queens, so do you target certain key bars like Pine Box Rock Shop and Adobe Blues?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. I mean, fortunately, we we all wear a lot of hats in the brewery. You have to as a startup, but if you're really going to get traction, you've got to have people who are experts in each jurisdiction in the brewery. So we've got a couple of really smart salespeople that have come from local distributors and know all the best pubs, are aware of the marketplace and the beers that are out there. So they inform us quite a bit. And look, I mean, Brian and I have done our fair share of drinking throughout New York City, and we're pretty aware of all the cool pubs, but we can't possibly know all of them. So someone like Mark and Trista, who are our sales team, who do know all these pubs, is really great to have. And Mark's had a long relationship with Pine Box, and that was one of the first accounts that he suggested, and sounded great to me. I was like, absolutely.
And then Sean McCain, you've been a beer salesman rep for a long time before you were with Victory. Now you're a partner at the Bronx Brewery.
Yeah.
What is it like for you? You know, there's these great bars around the city. You do target certain places?
Absolutely. I was just talking to our good people at the Pine Box before. We did a soft launch in Brooklyn last December where I basically sat around with Matt Lefkowitz and I was like, all right, so I want these places to have the ability to buy my beer first. I'm not going to go in there. I'm not going to sell it. I want this to be, because it's a distributor relationship that I have with the brewery as well, but these guys get it first. And Pine Box was one of the first ones.
We thought that was a mistake, that the truck accidentally left us, aka a Bronx. We're like, we're not going to say anything. We're just going to put it
marketing,
on.
Marketing, right? No, absolutely not. And I think, what did I say before? I said, I was like, I wanted to plant my seed at the right places. So what better place to plant your seed in Bushwick than the Pine Box?
Sound like an NFL football player, Sean.
Just because I got a parking ticket earlier and yelled at the cop, and so now I sound really gravelly.
You have four ex-wives and six children?
Just one ex-wife and one child.
It's the kind of guy, this is a little snapshot of the beer community. So, all right, let's make a toast and let's just cheers everybody. This is awesome. It's a Five Boroughs in the house.
Absolutely.
Look at this. All right. I want to talk about politics? No, but we'll talk more about beer. The big question for me is, the real story here tonight is Rich Buchetta, Single Cut Beersmith. You know, we have a couple more segments. We'll be talking all night. But when we first met you a year and a half ago, Garrett Oliver was in the room, and he made a joke about the Buchetta cut and made fun of your name. But, for a long time, you were a home brewer, and people recognized your beers as being really good.
Thank you.
But you had a dream. I mean, you were talking for a long time about opening a brewery. You were able to raise money. Just tell us what you went through, because at one time you were a home brewer, and you're on our show, and you were talking about opening a brewery up in Rockland County, New York.
That's right.
And just tell us the steps you went through and why you didn't open in which towns you looked at and why you didn't open there.
Well,
it's eye-opening for a lot of us.
Yeah, it's funny. The whole story really did a full 360, because when I first started developing my business plan, my first instinct was to open in Queens. I'm from Queens originally. At the time, and it was the one borough, second largest population in New York City, that still didn't have a brewery of its own. So seemed like a slam dunk to me. But I was really a little weary of what I perceived to be the rent, which I thought was going to be astronomical, and as well the red tape. And I was in fact only right on one of those two aspects. The New York City red tape is everything you hear about. It lives up to promise. It's pretty heinous, but the rent was actually was very comparable to Rockland County. So after a pretty exhaustive search through Rockland, we were always going to self-distribute. So whether we were in Rockland or elsewhere, as long as we were accessible to New York City, I felt that it was okay. But when we, you know, fortuitously now I can say, couldn't find anything that met our criteria in Rockland, I thought, you know, let me give Queens a shot. I haven't even thought of checked it out. And once I did, I was amazed that it was within the same cost bracket as what I was looking at in Rockland. So at that point, I was committed to Queens. And the space that we finally did find was another, you know, mini adventure, because our brewery, we always wanted to be a real community-based brewery. We were all about New York City, and we really want to bond with the residents of New York City and have them visit our brewery. And the thing about New York City zoning laws are such that as a brewery, you've got to open in a part of the city that's zoned for manufacturing. And those neighborhoods are not necessarily the most pleasant places that you'd want to visit. So, you know, that didn't really strike a chord for me, because I wanted the whole experience to be very positive and true to our brand. So when I finally did find the space in Astoria, there was no second thought to it.
That's awesome. We're going to talk more. Let's take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on the Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to This Body by Pamela Royal on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, having a great time with representatives of all five boroughs of New York City craft beer. Ryan from Adobe Blues. Ryan, you know, what do you think of the conversation so far?
It's good. Yeah, I like to talk about the local, you know, local beer, which is awesome. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's one of the challenges that I have in Staten Island is getting the new local breweries, because there's not a whole lot of places in Staten Island that are going to take it, and especially the self-distributed stuff. They're not going to throw a keg on a truck and come to me in Staten Island and pay the tolls and spend half their day. You know,
well,
so.
I mean, I just have to say, I'm actually going. I wasn't joking earlier.
I'm
coming to Staten Island tomorrow.
I've heard you coming out. Word's getting around.
The word is out. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it, because, to be fair to Staten Island, there are like five great places there that are going to pour the beer. Adobe definitely is rocking the top of that. But it's difficult from a beer salesman perspective, or from a new brewery. Like, we're focusing on, like, even Bushwick right now. It's got this wonderful like onslaught of great places that are coming up. That you come here, then wait a minute, Williamsburg, South Williamsburg, Bed-Stuy, Clinton Hill, Green, all these places are right there. Whereas when you go to Staten Island, you're there, which is why I'm going.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to just.
Who knows,
a
joke
there.
About Staten Island?
It's not a joke, man.
How did it get to be named Staten Island?
God only knows.
When the Dutch came into the harbor, they said, Staten Island? That's the worst joke ever. I can't believe I had to tell a joke. Guys, we got to lighten this party up. Right. So, what are we drinking, Sean?
Speaking of lightening up, let's lighten
this beer
it up with
is
a dark
good. What is
beer.
It?
Huh? All right, this is our 5.7% Bronx Black Pale Ale. It's a dichotomy. I mean, it's a little bit, when you think of black pale ale, you're like, yeah, go fuck yourself. That's right, I cussed. I apologize. Sorry.
Heather, did you want to cuss?
Sure. Nah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, now we're feeling good. Now
go to Pine Box Rock Shop and cuss.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Pine Box motherfucking Rock
the
Shop.
The Cuss Club.
No, but see, the whole idea behind this beer is you close your eyes. When you smell it, we use El Dorado and Citra, both in the boil and dry hopping it. So you get this tropical notes of guava and mango, a little bit of pear. And then the malts, 79% of it are American two-row, pale malts. You know, that's what pale's about. 7% is chocolate malt, and 14% is a little
this
bit
is
of
a black beer.
It's a dark as night.
So you had the launch at Jimmy's number 43, which
Jimmy's
was awesome.
43, I did.
Awesome party.
I've been there a couple times.
You guys did a great job.
Yeah, the guy that owns that place, not a bad dude.
Sometimes.
He's all right.
You know the guy I really want to talk to tonight? We're trying to jump this around, but Brian Dwyer.
Yeah.
So, Rich, you stabbed him. Brian was a rep for Sierra Nevada in New York City.
It was your rep, Jimmy.
You know a lot about the craft beer scene. How did you make the decision from working as a rep to becoming a brewer at Single Cut Beersmith?
Great question. Fantastic question. It was always something that I've been passionate about. In fact, right before I started working for Sierra Nevada, I met Rich when I was interning at Greenpoint Beer Works. And he was working there, and he kind of showed me the ropes as well as Mark, who is now our head of sales. So they became friends of mine through that. So brewing has always been a passion of mine. It's been something that I've done for years, just in my home brewing. And that's how we got connected to it. So, you know, I really enjoyed working for Sierra Nevada, and I think it was invaluable to learn the New York City craft beer environment, which is pretty unique. But brewing was always somewhere in my future. Rich was just fortunate enough or stupid enough, I'm not sure which it is, to ask me to come along. So it's been fantastic so far.
So tell us about the brewery layout. Let me ask the questions, guys. Brian, because Rich, you're the boss, but Brian's Italian. So Brian, come here.
Yeah.
Tell us about the brewery layout, what kind of system you have, and what you guys went through setting it up.
So our basic system is we're on a 35-barrel brewing system. We've got one 35-barrel conical fermenter, two 70-barrel conicals, and two 70-barrel lagering tanks, as well as one 70-bright tank and one 35-bright tank. So it's great. You know, we have the potential to brew a one-off batch and really get, you know, a select amount of kegs out of it, or to, you know, brew our year-round beers on a regular basis, kind of on a larger batch. So what we do is we brew 2 days in a row if we're going to do a 70-barrel batch, and that's us back there. And then the front of the brewery is actually a tap room. So, you know, I know Rich wanted to make it an experience for people where they could come and see the brewery and hang out and you know, taste all the beers, and then take growlers to go as well. So we've got the whole theme running through there, which is, you know, we're a music-themed brewery. So we've got a stage. In 2 weeks, we're going to start having bands every Saturday. And then we've got music playing at all times. We're open, rock music primarily. We've got a record player.
So that's a single cut. So you guys have these really cool tap handles. They're like guitars, right?
That's right. Guitar neck. Yeah.
Yeah. And why'd you come up with that, Rich?
Well, you know, when I had to come up with the name for the brewery, I wanted to make sure that it was something original, so it had to be something personal. I didn't want to name the brewery after some mountain range or, you know, a dog or, you know, the other stuff that's been done 3 million times. So cheers. I'd been a guitar player most of my life. And
hey, Rich, guess what? We're drinking your beer, man.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for making it.
What's this beer that we're drinking? Which
you're drinking the 18-watt IPA. So this is the sessionable version of our Billy series. It's 5% alcohol.
Yeah. You know what's awesome? You're the founder. You're the owner. You're the awesome guy that made this happen.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you got a guy like Brian.
Yeah.
He knows the beer community.
I got cut off.
There's always a Brian in the crowd.
I wanted to come back to that. Well, no. You know, we've been, I'll tell you, one of the critical things about a startup business, whether it's a brewery or anything else, is that chemistry in the staff is so critical. You know, everyone's wearing a lot of hats. There can't be a weak link in the chain because, you know, there's just not that, you don't have any overlap, you know. And I've been incredibly fortunate. Everybody that we hired has been a real superstar. Brian has really risen to the
challenge. What's the name of this beer again?
This is 18-watt IPA.
It's really good.
Jimmy, he was in the middle of giving me a compliment. Please don't interrupt him from now on.
Well, now I have to because he's a good talker. But let's ask our good
Brazil. I think Jimmy's fishing for a compliment.
Richie,
no,
Richie. Good Brazil panel over here. Okay, you got Brian and Rich. Ask questions. Ryan, any questions you want to ask about their new startup brewery?
Yeah.
Because he's your buyer. You got to listen to him. So.
Yeah, what's the plan? Is it to grow? Is it to stay the same size and do more brews? Do you have plans to do just a kind of a you know, steady line of year-round brews, one-offs. Yeah, what's happening?
Good question, Ryan.
Hey, thanks.
We're committed to being a New York City brewery, 100%. That's why, you know, I've done this every time I've been on your show, Jimmy. I've always talked about the importance for me of making sure that our beer was 100% brewed in New York City on premises. And that's the reason we've invested in a brewery of the scale that we have as a startup. So we're committed to that. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're not looking for a national or world domination or anything like that.
Right.
We're a New York City brewery, and we self-distribute. So we want to service our clients and give them the same level, the same experience that our customers have, and I think that we can achieve that through distributing the beer ourselves. So you being in Staten Island, we wouldn't hesitate to come out and bring our beer out to you.
Awesome.
You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why we want to self-distribute. We love our relationship with our retailers.
You do have a great system. Now, Heather and Jeff, you have a question for the new brewery in Queens?
Oh, I have many.
Go for it. Line them up. Come on. Let's do the short form.
It doesn't have to be beer related.
I did want to ask you about your brewery. There's a lot of old breweries here in this neighborhood that are now defunct, and I understand that this was like a pretty big brewing neighborhood.
Right.
Did you take over an older brewery out in Queens, or you just...
No. No, that's a great question. No.
Is there a history of that out there as well?
There was quite a history.
Yeah, there is, you know, there's kind of spotted, from what I understand, spotted old breweries around. I mean, one of the largest breweries was Hell Gate Brewery, which was in Manhattan, but it's right across the way from where we are. And Hellgate is kind of connected to Queens. So there's definitely an old, you know, pre-prohibition brewing culture there, or there was. But, you know, there really hasn't been a brewing culture that's existed since prohibition.
They brewed Guinness in Queens.
They did. Yeah, that's one of the, I think, three breweries came back in Queens after prohibition. One of them was Guinness, and there were two more. But there have been no new breweries in Queens since this past year. This past year was the first time that those opened. Now there's three of them, and I believe there's another in planning at this point. So it's kind of a craft beer revolution in Queens.
But you're the single cut. I mean, you guys really. I mean, I'm gonna give you guys props, and everyone here will agree. You had a plan, Rich. You went out and did it. And now you've got a place that's a destination in Astoria, Queens. People want to go there. You can get the beers. You're going to have music. And you're making beer. And I think it's really awesome.
Thanks,
so, really. And I've also haven't tasted all these other beers. So did you bring these beers tonight, or are they all at Pine Box Rock Shop?
Well, as Brian mentioned, coincidentally, they happened to bring one of our beers, and it happened to be one of the beers that we didn't bring. So thank you very much for that. That was perfect.
Wow. And how many beers are you making right now?
To date, we've brewed 8 different beers, and we've got... And I'm sorry, I didn't finish your answering your question, Ryan, because I tend to blab a lot.
No, answer my question.
I've had a few beers, and I'm getting motor mouth, so
tell me the names of the beers you're brewing right now, because people want to know.
Keep me on track, Jimmy.
Just give me the names of the beers.
Okay, we've got the Three Billies. We've got our 1933 lager. We've got Yon, which is our Olympic white lager, which is a year-rounder. But in addition to those, we've got a vast amount of seasonals that we're going to continually pepper.
John Michael Dark Lyric Lager. We've got a Rudy Double Umlaut Lager, which is actually it's aging in rum barrels right now.
Genetically named. You have an umlaut.
You better. We do.
Named, oh yeah.
Yes, sir. Hells yes. And then I don't know. We've also got the Dean Pacific Northwest Mahogany, which
yes,
you mentioned you earlier,
and Umlaut,
and the 1933 Queens Lager, which is our flagship. That's our 1933 is our address 19-33, so it's very unique to Queens, but it's also the year that Prohibition ended.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, hey guys, one second. We're gonna take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to Quittin' Time by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Every Tuesday at 12 p.m., you can call food scientist Dave Arnold and ask any question you want.
John from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Cooking
issues! Who am I fooling? This is horrible stuff. Without glutamic acid, you die!
It is a matter of taste, but there's a lot more fat in sausage than you think.
Get ahead of the curve. Tune into Cooking Issues every Tuesday at 12 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. You just heard a promo for Dave Arnold's great show. Hey, Dave Arnold, how do I keep my souffle from falling? You know, these are the kind of questions you can ask, and he's a brilliant guy, and I listen to his show all the time on Heritage Radio Network. Here we are back in Beer Sessions Radio, and we're talking about the five boroughs of beer we get. Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, and Manhattan in one room. It's amazing. It's actually the first time ever on our show. But we're talking about Rich Buchetta and Single Cup Beersmith. The big story, Brian Dwyer, your brewer. We got Pine Box Rock Shop in the house and Adobe Blues from Staten Island. Now we're going to bring it back to the Bronx. So we've got a brewery in Queens. It's the first time that there's a new production brewery in New York, really, in a long time. Rich, you really did a great job. And now we're talking about the next step. It's Sean McCain from the Bronx Brewery.
Yeah,
so what are you guys doing? I mean, you guys, you know, you can tell the truth. You guys have grown slowly. You're doing a great job. You're making your beer elsewhere. But you guys have a goal.
Yeah.
And what's the goal?
To brew in the Bronx. I think that's the big thing right now. As a young brewery, we've been around for a year and a half. And the whole idea is to figure out who we are and what we want to believe, what we believe in, and what's style of beer, and who do we want to present ourselves to the public, because there's so many breweries out there. There's so many great breweries out there. So we decided to sort of take a different trend and say we make pale ales. We like pale ales. We can drink pale ales all day long, and we're just going to make delicious pale ales and allow our brethren in the brewing industry to go ahead and take...
Sean, do you guys have big money behind you?
No.
You don't.
My mom's invested in this, and look at me. Do I have money? No.
So there's Chris and Damien. Damien went to UC Davis. He's a really good, talented brewer.
Chris,
and we all
agree
on
Brown
that.
is our brewmaster, and Chris Kalan is our GM, and then you have me, and then behind that it's just about...
You're 40, the best beer salesman in New York City.
45 other people
and
that
you know
believe
it.
In us, and in a loan that's got us around the neck. Other than that, yeah, I mean, so here's the deal. So we've been brewing out of doing a co-proprietorship out of Cottrell Brewing in Pawcatuck, Connecticut for the last year and a half. That's worked out great. We bought an 80-barrel fermenter and a 40-barrel fermenter, and that's allowed us to be able to bring beer into the city, get our name out, get our proof of concept, and then now we're signing the lease on our new place in Port Morris. I'd love to give you the address. But Chris and Damien...
Well, so that's news. So what? Start over.
Yeah, next fall we're actually going to have... we'll be brewing out of the Bronx.
So... You have a lease coming up?
Yeah, dude. I got a brew house, baby.
Dude, let's toast to that. That's news. All right, on the radio.
It is.
That's
it,
where you announce things. Yeah.
Well, and I have the specs of our brewery.
I do. That's
this guy actually knows it because he brews in it. Because he bought it. This is what's on the waiting list. As soon as we get the ground paved and we get everything.
Well, you're going to do the same system as Single Cut?
No, we're doing a 20-barrel system.
Yeah.
We're going to do a 20-barrel system, and this is the part that I have to look at my notes at, because I'm not sure. Not being a brewer, I'm a beer salesman. I learned long ago that I am a pretty good home brewer.
But Sean, what are the specs?
I've got great friends that are home brewers. All right.
Pick it up.
It's a 20-barrel house, 40-barrel hot liquor tank, 40-barrel cold liquor tank, two 20-barrel fermentation tanks, 240. Fermentation tanks, 340 barrel conditioning bright tanks, a yeast propagation tank, a yeast brink, and an automated two-station keg washer filler, and a cask automated canning system, 30 cans per minute. And we're also doing a tabletop bottle filler, so we can do our... We're doing a lot of barrel aging coming up.
How much is that going to cost?
Fuck, too much. It's too much. It's a DME system. That's who we're getting it from, and... that's the majority of the money that we raised was to make sure that we could get the lease on the place in the Bronx to get this brewing equipment and set out our contracts to get the ingredients.
I know you're really ambitious. I mean, Rich was ambitious in his way, and he's got the first great new production brewery.
And I love it. I mean, the way he's doing it is very different than ours, because he is all owning, and I applaud that. And we looked at that when we're looking at a business model and a business plan. You have to figure out.
But you've got your own secret things. Like, you're already in Madison Square Garden, right?
Yes, Madison.
You're doing
Court
like
Garden.
The big stuff.
Yeah.
You might try to get into Yankee Stadium.
I'm going
to
be in Yankee Stadium.
See?
Yeah, I'm owning New York City.
You're like a serious beer salesman. You know the market.
Yeah.
You scare me.
It's just the beard.
Are you gonna bottle in 22-ounce bottles?
We currently do, actually.
Awesome.
We self-bottle and self-label and self-wax all of our bourbon and Zinfandel, and we do a big barrel-aging series right now.
Awesome. I would love to sell some Bronx Bombers.
We do 20 cases at a clip, so right now we're so small. That's why the beautiful thing about the new space is it's going to allow us to do a larger barrel-aging program. But right now in the tanks, I've got 255-gallon Whistle Pig rye barrels aging with our rye pale ale.
Beauty.
And then I have 4 15-gallon gin barrels that used to be rum barrels that now have beer in them.
Wow.
And I tasted those on Friday, and I don't want to sell it. I just want to bathe in it one night.
Cocktail beer.
One night only. I don't
know.
Sean,
how did you get into beer? We've been on the show a few times, I think five, but...
I don't know.
You have a great story because you're like an amazing beer salesman. People like you. You're personable.
Wow.
And you know the product.
Jeez.
Wow.
Thanks, man.
But how'd you get into this? Because you're like an actor, right?
I was an actor. Yeah, I was an actor, and then I'm a home brewer, and I left that world to get into corporate America and make money and make my wife and life happy at that time. And then I realized that I was neither happy with either. And I said, what do I want to do? What do I believe in? Who's the community that I need to be a part of? And it was beer.
Okay.
It was beer.
So now I'm going to ask this. Super Bowl is coming up. A lot of bars show the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What would you recommend? What beer would you serve and what dish would you serve?
Well, first of all, I would be on February 3rd. I would be at, geez, man, I'm about to blow it because the beer here is good. Well done, Rich. No, we're going to be at... New York Beer Company on February 3rd, drinking Bronx Pale Ale.
So it's like a Bronx Super Bowl party.
Yeah, whatever. But, I mean, you drink whatever the hell you want on Super Bowl. Have a good time. But I personally would drink a Pale Ale, only because it's a long game, and you're going to get belligerent. You don't need a Belgian Quad or a Russian Imperial Stout to make that happen for you.
You know, find a good Pilsner. I really like the Bronx Black.
Find a good
so
Pale
you know.
Ale. Find a good beer to sustain the balance.
That's not what we do in Staten Island.
Yeah. What do you guys do for what are you guys doing for Super Bowl?
We're doing like an all-you-can-eat taco bar, projecting the game, all-you-can-eat wings, and we're doing...
All-you-can-eat taco bar?
Yeah, man. Hard gel. It's going to be good.
Next year, can we talk?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But we're doing Anchor versus Flying
yeah,
Dog.
Nice.
So we're doing Canine Cruiser versus Old Foghorn.
You going to have a little Molly McDevitt up on that party?
We're doing a Winter Brew versus a Barley Wine. Yeah,
awesome.
So we're not messing around with pale ales for the Super Bowl. Yeah,
wow.
And Jeff, what are you guys going to do for what would you do for the Super Bowl at Pine Box Rock Shop?
Well, what we are doing is turning our lines over to San Francisco and Baltimore.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, we've got Anchor Porter, 21st Amendment, Sneak Attack, their new saison, and Back in Black, Speakeasy. We got their Prohibition, their Double Daddy. And their Witness, Flying Dog. We've got the Canine and the IPA.
What do you think stronger?
Tell me you got Stillwater.
Is
tell
for
me you
beer,
got some heavy seas.
Is
heavy seas, of course.
Yeah.
Winter
but
Storm.
Is San Francisco stronger for beer than Baltimore?
Yes.
It is. And let
yeah.
me tell you this: I'm a big Atlanta Falcons fan, and part of me was kind of hoping they would lose that game because we can't get anything from Atlanta up here. And San Francisco really paid off in that regard.
You know what I decided? It was whatever the playoff game was. It was football, American football. Someone said, are you going to do like a versus night? I said, no, I'm going to do like French craft beer night. That's what we're doing. And it's my friend Chris Kuzma, who's now the brewer at Five Way Gastropub. It's his birthday party. So we mixed it up a little bit.
Super Bowl.
So I'm doing French craft beer on Super Bowl.
I like it.
And then,
so avant-garde.
You guys, Brian, I'm calling you guys, Brian and Rich, Single Cut Beersmith, what would your ideal Super Bowl party be with your beers and what food would you go with it? You could have some food pairings too, guys.
Boy. I think for me, it's going to be something out of the ordinary. So. I think I'm probably going to go with the single cut full stack and some buffalo wings or something like that. Nice smooth double IPA and then something with some spice to it. And then I'll probably, if I was going in the single cut house, which I will be, I'll be moving on to the 1933 Pilsner, or Queen's Lager. We're not, it's not a Pilsner style. Something nice, easy drinking, 5.4%.
That brings up something. Rich,
I do want to talk something about that. Thanks for bringing that up, Brian. Our 1933 Queen's Lager, it's gotten a lot of, there's been some controversy about it because a lot of people like it, fortunately, and people like yourself, Jimmy, are real fans of the beer, and that's very rewarding for us. But a lot of people who expect it to taste like a Pilsner, a classic Pilsner, don't know what to make of it at times, and I say that's good because we don't set out to make any classic beer in anything that we do, because why? The market's already flooded with Pilsners, and all of, you know, very solid Pilsners. Why would we brew another Pilsner, even if it is local? You know, that's just your typical, you know, Bohemian Pilsner malt and Saaz hops. It's been done to death, so, you know, we wanted to give it our own spin. So that's what you're tasting in that beer. We still think it's every bit within category, but it's got our spin on it. So I think people have got to consider that when they taste the beer, that it might be a little different than what your expectation is for a Pilsner.
All right. Take a deep breath, Rich.
I got emotional.
I know you have a lot to talk about.
Does that answer your Super Bowl question?
Anyway, the Super Bowl's...
Thank you.
Actually, the Super Bowl's over, and somebody won, but I just wanted to ask you guys that question. You know, one thing about what... It's just amazing to be in this room. Again, it's our first time we've had representatives from five boroughs, either bars or breweries. And it's kind of like the golden era of New York City beer. Even 5 years ago, there was nothing like this. And I sound like an old man talking about that. Somebody has to say something sexy or something, because Bree's not laughing in the booth like she used to.
We're smelling some utopia right now. So,
Well, Heather, what did you bring? You guys really went to town. Pine Box Rock Shop in Bushwick. You guys really brought some cool beers.
I have an ulterior motive. We're now serving the utopia.
What?
Yeah. Whoa. So I brought it for you all to try.
You know, I've never had.
I've never had utopia.
It's Sam Adams, right?
Yes, it's Sam Adams.
How much does that bottle cost? What's the retail on that?
A lot.
Too much.
It's a lot.
What do you sell it for?
$25 for a 2 ounce pour.
Yeah.
And we're what? Not how really making anything how much? Back
wait,
on
wait,
that.
How much?
It's $25 for a 2 ounce pour, and it's the profit that's margins are razor thin.
All right, can I have a 4 ounce pour? I got $50 in my back pocket.
There's not a lot of places to do that. Otherwise, you have to buy it for, you know, $200 or whatever retails for it.
That's true. That's great.
That is, there is a,
yeah, if you want to try
say
it.
This
so why is that beer so expensive?
Can you pour it
I mean,
in
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
And I've, listen, guys, let's go back. Sam Adams Utopia. Let's have this is a little serious kind of beer, guys. Ryan, I've heard of the beer. I've never had it. I had no idea how expensive it was.
I've looked into it. I know how expensive it is. And, yeah, I think $25 for a 2 ounce pour is... for what it costs, Pine Box Rock Shop is pretty reasonable with that beer.
It's like
is
whiskey.
Expensive.
Yeah, so what is it? I mean, what's Utopia? I mean, that's a dumb question, but I've been so focused on the small craft breweries. I know that Sam Adams is considered a craft brewery.
Well, I had been reading about this, and his whole idea was to brew something that kind of pushes the outer limits of what a beer could be. Sam Adams is a great beer. We don't serve it. I feel like it's, you know... it's great for other bars.
It's a little too big for our
you know?
What is the ABV on this thing? Because I can't even put my nose
29,
in this glass.
29.
Yeah. Holy cannoli.
Which makes it the strongest naturally fermented beer.
So you need to have a liquor license. You need a liquor license to sell this, right?
I don't know. I bought it from a beer distributor.
Yeah, I think it's considered a beer.
I think as long as you don't put, like it's not fortified, you don't have to have the liquor license.
Right. Oh, my God.
Huh. Cheers!
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. This is a treat.
I mean, that's delicious.
Yeah, it is good. It's very good.
That is.
It's really good.
That's $25 a 2 ounce. Delicious.
Get it at Pine Box.
The Pine Box.
Wow.
But I just, you know, we keep wanting to like, you know, go places that, you know, other like push the edge of, you know, what you can get at a bar, and, you know, we could offer it, and I thought it'd be really fun to do it, so.
Well, we do kind of some barrel-aging stuff. Like I said, we only have 20 cases. You just made the allocation list.
Yay!
And I have a great idea. Heather, here's an idea. You guys are on Heritage Radio Network. They're always trying to raise money because it's a nonprofit. You guys could donate a Sam Adams Utopia bath.
Wow.
How much would you pay Imagine this: someone's doing an auction for a Heritage Radio Network or a you know online auction. You say, you'll get a bath, and maybe Sam Adams would donate it. How much would you pay to have a bath of this? It'd be pretty sick. I bet someone would
call
would
the jacuzzi
do
and I'll create the bubbles. Yes.
It would be literally pretty sick. That's
and we start a dish. So then Bronx
can
Bronx could make
the
a
smell of a bathtub of this. Can you? People would ask you if your house was burning down.
Wow.
Oh, that's the worst idea ever, Jimmy.
Well, I've seen people pay more for Stranger Things.
But. Well, we don't want to hear about your time in Tijuana.
Yeah. But hey, let's do a little toast. We're going to close out soon. Again, thanks everyone for coming. Rich, one more time, just say a quick parting word because you really did fulfill your dream, and we're so happy to be. And the beers you brought tonight were really showing great.
Thank you. These are all our year rounders that we brought tonight, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It's the hardest I've ever worked in my life. I have no social life, I can tell you, and I don't get much sleep. But it's awesome. I love it.
But you love it.
Yeah.
And you still collect guitars too, right?
No, I sold most of those to fund the brewery.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah.
That's passion. I love
that.
Oh
yeah.
All right. And Ryan, anything's coming up at Adobe Blues?
Man, we're doing Super Bowl. I'm gonna apparently have some single cut. I'm gonna hold these guys to it.
Yeah.
So we'll have that in Staten Island.
No doubt.
I'm locking it down right now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, lots of stuff coming up. It'll be good.
And guys, Pine Box Rock Shop.
We have a big Super Bowl party, and you can now get the Sam Adams Utopia. So if you're not Adobe Blues, you should be at Pine Box.
We're turning all the lines over to Super Bowl teams on Super Bowl Sunday, with some exceptions. You can always get single cut there, and a few other good local beers. Some other stuff going on in February. We got
Jeff and Heather. I'm really glad you guys came on. And it's so great to meet you guys, because it is my favorite beer bar in Bushwick, I'll tell you that.
Thank you. Awesome.
Well, you guys can attest to this. Like, if you open your own business and you're on the ground, like, I have no social life either.
Yeah.
You know,
you better love what you
do. I'm lucky if I get the mail.
Yeah, don't you own a bar? Come on. Yeah.
Your social life is the bar.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Postman. It's so nice to talk to somebody other than a beer person.
All right. And you guys, you must have, is your tap room open in Queens?
It is, yeah. We're open Thursdays now 6 to 10, Friday 6 to 10, Saturday 1 to 11, and we're opening up on Sundays. So we're going to open up Sundays 1 to 6.
In Astoria, Queens. That's
awesome. Yeah, so, and we're going to start serving food soon, Australian meat pies, which are top notch.
Is it D-U-B dub pies?
No, but it's similar.
There's a small, tight circle of Australian meat pies in your
city. Yeah, yes, there is an inner circle of Australian meat pies, yes.
Always good.
So we're going to have pints there and growlers to go. And we're going to have live music starting in a couple weeks.
Cheers to you guys.
Thank you, Jim.
And Sean, also, one more thing.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say one thing. You should make your Saturday hours 1 to 10, but keep it open to 11. Because your tasting room goes to 11.
All right.
Yeah.
And hey, on the New York City Beer Week site, New York City Beer Week is coming back.
We're all back around.
And,
New York City Beer Week.
The featured event for the third year is the New York City Brewer's Choice, co-presented by Beer Sessions Radio. It's February 27th at City Winery. Go to goodbrewsteel.com to learn more about it.
Get your tickets now.
That's right. And I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com, always, who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is also supported by the Good Beer Seal. So thanks to everyone. Jeff, Heather, Ryan, Rich, Brian, Sean, and not Dave. It's supposed to be Dave from Bronx Ale House, but he couldn't make it, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Bree O'Connor, and engineer Joe Galarraga, whose birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.